Welcome to West Church. We're so thankful you've joined us today. Whether you're joining us in person or virtually, we're excited to come together to praise, worship, and receive God's glory. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to give you a very special welcome. If you're returning, thanks for joining us again. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you. Now, let's prepare to be inspired and encouraged as we enter into worship.
On this Easter Sunday, I have a confession to make. As a Christian minister, I sometimes struggle with the English word church. You say, really? A Christian minister who struggles with the word church? Well, let me explain. There's a couple reasons for this. I struggle with what the word church has come to mean. Most people think of a church as a place. And our English word, our old English word, church, and Scottish word, kirk, most likely means a house of the Lord. And in part, that's why I don't like the word. You're saying, okay, Pastor, you're confusing me. Let me explain further. For many, church is a place you go to do religious stuff. You go there to get married, because maybe you need a little God when you're getting married, because getting married is hard, right? You go when you have a baby, because maybe you need a little God for raising a child, because raising children is hard, right? You go to church. Alrighty. You go to church when somebody dies, because when somebody dies, maybe you need a little God so that you're ready when it's your turn, and maybe to pray for them. In this view of church, church is the place you go in order to get a little good luck from God. That's not the church. In the movies, the church is an empty place where people go because it's always open and always quiet, and all the gangsters go there to make their plans to commit crimes. Or, in the movies, the church is a place full of crazies and weirdos that are going to set the world on fire. So in the movies, church is either a really empty place or a really weird place. Here in New England, the churches are the place that dot the countryside or the city center or the town center where people used to go, when religious people used to meet back in the days when religion was popular. Now many of them are empty. They're museums or other public places. Back where I was from in New Jersey, there was actually a huge church building that was converted into a liquor store. So, as a minister, I struggle with what the church means today. Because compared to what it actually meant when the Christian faith was just beginning and the New Testament was being written, it's completely different compared to what it meant in this passage which we read today, where Paul is praying for the church. We've been reading this prayer about a resurrection prayer about the Apostle Paul, that he prayed for a group of believers that met together in a very ancient city called Ephesus, which is in present-day Turkey. And in verse 22, he uses the word church. But you know what? It has absolutely nothing to do with a building whatsoever, a house of the Lord. It has nothing to do with that. Because when belief in Jesus started spreading out of the city of Jerusalem in Israel throughout the entire Roman world, Christianity was illegal. There were no Christian houses of worship. It wasn't even an authorized religion in the Roman world. It was prevented. So when the English word translated church here in Ephesians or anywhere else in the Bible is used, it has nothing to do with a building or a place. It refers to the people of God. As a matter of fact, even the Greek word behind the English word church translated here, it's not even a religious word. It's a very common word. It means gathering, group, or assembly. It's used in the New Testament of an angry mob, and it's also used of a religious group of Christians. There's a whole nother word in the New Testament for a house of the Lord, the word temple. And in the Old Testament, you had the temple where the people of Israel worshiped the Lord. But whenever in the New Testament the word temple is used of the church, it's only referring to people. Peter says that people are the bricks in God's temple. Even in the New Testament, when temple is used of Christians, it only refers to people. There were no Christian houses of worship in the New Testament. There wouldn't be church buildings for several hundred years. So the reason I struggle with the word church as a Christian minister is because we modern people think of church today as something that is completely different from what the writers of the Bible meant when they wrote it. In the Bible, the church is always and only people. Today, it's become something different. During Easter here at West Church, we've been talking about praying the resurrection, because Jesus is alive. When we pray to him, and the risen Jesus in all of his power hears us and answers our prayers. We've talked about, because Jesus is alive, we know that when we pray, God wants to give us more. Because he's alive, there is so much more from him to give. Then we talked about praying up and praying down. You know, we're always praying for the things that bother us, the things we struggle with, our weaknesses, our illnesses, and all of those things are great to pray. But when you read this prayer, there's nothing about our sicknesses and our weaknesses and our illnesses. There's a lot of prayer about, God, help me to be what you want me to be in this world. Help us to be the congregation of the risen Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus taught us to pray when he taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be held holy on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. They were praying up that Jesus would work powerfully. And last week we saw that when we pray to the Lord Jesus, we are praying to the one who is exalted over all. There is no authority higher than Jesus himself in this world. And when we call on him, the authority over all answers us according to his love for us. And if you've missed those teachings over the past couple of weeks, we have a podcast and a YouTube channel. You can go back and get those. But today, as we finish on this theme, praying the resurrection, I want to talk to you about my little rant about church, okay? In verse 22, he says, and he, God, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his, Jesus' body, the fullness of him, Jesus, who fills all in all. The risen Jesus is very active in the world today. And do you know where he's working? His church, his people, the assemblies of his people all over the world. The risen Jesus is changing the world by using his people who gather wherever they are. And Paul's prayer mentions two ways in which the risen Jesus is working in us. He is leading us and he is filling us. He's leading his people and he's filling his people. Look at verse 22 again. And he, that is God the Father, put all things under his feet, Jesus the Son, and gave him, Jesus the Son, as head over all things into the church, which is his body. Paul describes Jesus as the head of the church, and the church is the body of Jesus. What's the head do? The head directs the body. Even though Paul didn't understand modern medicine in the way that we do, it was still abundantly clear to the ancient people in his day that the head was the control center for the life of the body. When I was a boy, we raised chickens. And most of them we raised for the eggs, right? But chickens only lay eggs for 2 or 3 years. And after that, they became chicken soup. And it was my brother and my's job to get the chicken ready for chicken soup. So it was off with their head. And without that, the body couldn't do a whole lot for very long. Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. Right now, he is living his life through the people on earth that believe in him. And he's been doing this for over 2,000 years. And that is why the church isn't a building. Buildings aren't alive. Buildings don't have the life of Jesus in them. People can have the life of Jesus in them. People can choose to follow Jesus as their head. Now, the problem today is the modern people don't like to be told what to do. We have this concept that freedom is the freedom to do whatever in the world you want. And if Jesus is the head of the church directing us in what we are to do, then we are not free. But may I suggest to you that this is a faulty view of freedom? Let me explain. One of the cars in my driveway is a 2016 Honda CR-V with all-wheel drive, right? It's really good in bad weather, although this weather wasn't very bad this winter, and I'm not going to complain about that. But if I decided to take my CR-V off the road onto the beach, it's going to get stuck, even though it has all-wheel drive. All-wheel drive is not the same as having off-road capacity. I could try it, but it's not going to work very well for me. And I'll be the ding-a-ling on the stuck in the beach there with the tow truck trying to drag me out. When we think of having absolute freedom to do anything we want to do as people, it's like trying to drive my all-wheel drive CR-V off-road. It doesn't work. And as good as all-wheel drive is, it will not take me off-road. And as much as people want to believe that we are free to do or be anything, if they're not really made to do anything or be anything that we want, then they're going to get stuck and they're going to muddy up their lives. What did God make us for? To have a relationship with him. And when we try to live life separate from the relationship for which we were made, we get stuck in the mud. We sin. We fail in our relationships. We turn good things into ultimate things. And we have to struggle and work through all sorts of desires. What is right? What is not right? But Jesus came to make us right with God. He came to rescue us from ourselves, from our sin. He came to restore our relationship with God. And he has a design and a plan for our lives that is better than anything we can imagine for ourselves. And he gives us a new life that lasts forever when we trust him. And when we respond to Jesus as our head, it is like driving on the road of life with an all-wheel drive vehicle. He gives us what it takes for the journey. He leads us in a way that is actually best for us. And we find a better, happier, and even more fulfilled life when we travel the road that He has mapped out for us. Life in Jesus is better than believing that we have the freedom to do whatever in the world we want to do. Rather, we have the freedom to do everything that our Savior designed us to do. And even if the journey is difficult going, we're going where our Savior leads, and we know that He has our best interests at heart, and the commands of Jesus and His directions for our lives are the very best plan for the journey. When we let Jesus lead us, He transforms our lives into something even better. Not because we think we're better than others, but because we believe that He is so kind and good and generous to us, despite what we deserve, because of His cross and because of His resurrection. Even when we run off the road sometimes as Christians, Jesus graciously forgives. We come to Him and confess, and He redirects us in forgiveness and gets us back on track. When the church of Jesus is not choosing to follow our head, we can wander away from being the body of Christ and try to turn the church into what we think it should be. And if we're trying to be a church, but we're not willing to be subject and led by Jesus, then even though we may be gathering in a church building, we will not be the church that Jesus called us to be. The church of Jesus is the people who trust and then follow Jesus. And when the church of Jesus stops following Jesus, we degenerate into kind of a Jesus social club, and we use His name when we're together, but we don't follow what He says. And a church that does not do what its head says is not the body of Christ. But not only is the risen Jesus our leader, the risen Jesus is filling us, His people. He's filling us. Verse 23, it says that we are His body and we are the fullness of Him who fills us all in all. And there's a lot of filling going on in this phrase. Jesus is the one who fills, and we are the ones who are filled by Him. Not only is He our leader, our head, but He is an important provider for the head, as the head. This is important because not only does Jesus command us and lead us in what to do, but He actually helps us to do what He commands. In the Hebrew Bible, there's a story of the Israelites being slaves in Egypt, and they were put to the task of making bricks in order to build the Egyptian empire. And Moses comes back down, And he gets together with the Israelite people, and they agree to go and visit the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. And they say to Pharaoh, "Let the people go." And Pharaoh says, "You must think I'm crazy. You must be lazy. If you're sitting around thinking about being let go, I'm going to put the screws to you. You know what? All this while, you've been making bricks, and we, the Egyptians, have been bringing you the straw so that you can mix the straw together with the bricks to make them stronger. Guess what I'm going to do now," said Pharaoh. "Since you guys are thinking all about this getting free stuff, you're going to go get your own straw, bring the straw back, and make the bricks, and you better make as many bricks as you were making before." Perhaps some of you have had an experience like that at work. You're working, and they let people go from the job. And what happens to all the work the other people used to do? Now it's your work. Oh, do they give you a raise with that? No. Do they hire anybody else to help you with that work? No. You just have to work harder for the same rate with less help. Do you get the picture? Some people think being a Christian is like that. If I become a Christian, I'm going to have to keep God's commands. And you know what? God's commands are much harder than the life I'm choosing to live now. So why would I do that? God wants me to make bricks out of straw without straw. God wants me to work for the same money without any help. But that is not what Paul is praying for in Ephesians. Because not only does the risen Jesus command us as our head, the life of Jesus comes from our head into the body. No one would choose Jesus because the Christian life is easier. The things that Jesus calls us to are not easier. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, really? What if I don't like my neighbor? What if I don't like my coworkers? What if I don't like my roommate? What if I don't like my classmate? What if I don't like my family member? How on earth am I supposed to love them? Why would anybody choose this way of life? Because the Jesus who lives in us helps us to become what he wants us to be. He not only commands, but he actually gives a new heart, a new life, and his spirit within us to help us to be all of that. So when Donna and I came from New Jersey to West Church, there's one thing that you don't do in New Jersey that you have to do when you live in Massachusetts. You know what that is? Pump your own gas. And I like pumping gas, but Donna doesn't love pumping gas. And sometimes she'll come home from work and say, "Oh, honey, can I take your car tomorrow? Because mine's empty." And I'm the one who's responsible for filling up the cars with gas. And the risen Jesus is the one who's responsible for filling up his people in the world. The people in the world are like empty vessels running on empty, running around and searching frantically for freedom, identity, happiness, and power. And we become detached from the source of life, from the God who made us. And so we try to plug in or pull up for a fill-up to anything and fill us up. And what happens is when you plug into anything less than God, you're trying to suck life out of something that is not God, and you actually hurt them and you hurt yourself, and you don't find your fullness that you're looking for. Because Jesus is the filler of empty people. He does this where? In the church. Not the buildings dotting the countryside, rather the gatherings of people whenever and wherever they are meeting in the world. And he has been doing that for the past 2,000 years. And the risen Jesus pours himself into broken, wandering people. And when they turn to him, they become connected to him through his family, the church. And when Jesus was teaching his disciples on the night before he was betrayed, just before he went to the cross, he told them, "You know what? It's good. It's good that I'm going away." And they were like, "No, how can it be good that you are going away, Jesus?" And he says, "Because I'm going to fill you with my spirit." And each of them would now have the Spirit of Jesus living with them as they lived. And this is what we, the Church of Jesus here today, need. We need the Spirit of Jesus within us, alive, showing us the truth, showing us wisdom, showing us how to understand God's Word, the Bible. The Spirit gives us life. The life of Jesus in the world. And the Spirit fills us with the love and the strength to love our neighbors as ourselves. And for all of its flaws, the reason that the church is still here after 2,000 years and continues to grow around the world is because the Spirit of the risen Jesus lives in the church and fills the church with His presence. When the people of Jesus do not depend upon Jesus to help them in their lives, we can be just as lousy as the next person. But when we rely upon Jesus to help us, we can actually have tremendously favorable influence in our communities all around us. And Jesus fills His body with Himself, making them like Him in the way that we speak and think and act. The risen Jesus is right now and has been for the past 2,000 years the head of His body, the gathering of believers in Him through the centuries, the true church, not the building, the people of Jesus. Is the risen Jesus your head today? This is Easter Sunday, where Christians all over the world are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And the risen Jesus is not absent in the world. He is present through His body, which is the church, which is the people of Jesus. And if you're here today and you are seeking a genuine relationship with the living God, pray to Jesus. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you and draw near to you and come into your heart and connect you to Himself. He delights to do that. If you're here today and you're thinking about it, but you're not sure, you got questions, you got doubts, is this Jesus thing for real or not? Keep coming. Put in your Let's Connect card. Let's have a conversation together or talk to the person who brought you here today. Don't leave here today without pondering if you have a genuine relationship with Jesus as your head. And friends in Jesus here today, we are gathered to pray. And when we pray to the risen Christ. We ask Him to lead us. We ask Him to fill us. And you know what Jesus thinks when we ask Him to lead us and He asks Him to fill us? There is nothing I would rather do. So we're going to pray to Him right now. And then we're going to pray as a congregation. And as you're praying, let your prayers soar to the risen Jesus. And let the risen Jesus fill us. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You. We praise You because You're not absent. You're not far away. You live within Your people. And You've been changing the world in the name of Jesus for centuries. And we are so thankful to be part of what You're doing in the world today. Help us to be like our Savior. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to love because You are the one who first loved us. Thank You for this time of prayer. Thank You for this time of praise. We worship You this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.